Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Joel Sartori is a contract photographer for National Geographic and founder of the Photo Ark. It's a multi-year documentary project to save species and habitat. He travels the world in a race against time, making portraits of animals on the brink of extinction. SDPB TV airs the PBS three-part special beginning Tuesday, July 18th at 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain. I caught up with Joel Sartori in Lincoln, Nebraska.
I think a common misconception is that it's just fun. Right. When in fact it's work. I mean, we don't go anywhere for fun. It's all work. And it doesn't mean we don't appreciate all the great things we get to see and all the amazing animals we get to meet, but it's always a relief when we're done at the end of each day.
Right.
So it is different than what people think.
Take us back to the beginning of the project and sort of the genesis of it and the naked mole rat.
Yeah. Sure. I'd been a National Geographic contract photographer for the magazine for about 15 years, and my wife got breast cancer, and I was forced to stay home for a year to take care of her and our three little kids, and I'd never been grounded before. I'd always been on the road. And so during that year at home, and she's fine now, and that's been 12 years ago, but during that year at home, I got to thinking about the types of stories I've been doing, conservation stories mostly, and they hadn't really moved the needle enough to suit my taste in terms of getting the public to care about what's going on in the natural world. And so I kind of came up with this plan to start doing pictures of animals on black and white backgrounds. The black and white backgrounds allow us to look at these animals in the eye, undistracted, and it's a great equalizer. An elephant is the same size as a mouse in these things. So it gives an equal voice to all creatures, great and small. So we started with a naked mole rat at the Lincoln Children's Zoo. And then I started driving around to all the zoos I could get to in my Prius quickly on the days when Kathy started feeling better. And I went to Kansas City and Sioux Falls and Sioux City and Denver and every place in between, just all the places in the Great Plains. That I could go to any aquarium, pet shop, private breeder, zoo, wildlife rehabber, you name it. And so that was about 11 years and 6,500 species ago. And we have another 6,000 to 6,500 left to go. The goal is to get every animal in human care around the world in a 25-year period.
Wow.
So another 15 years should do it.
It's a life's work in that way. It's an entire career.
Right.
If you make it to that point and you're healthy enough and the funding is there and you get to the final day, what do you hope waits on the other side of that for you? For you personally and professionally, and then let's talk about what waits on the other side for the animals.
Great question. I would like to retire at that point.
Yeah.
I would like to just go fishing and not have to worry about photography anymore, to be honest with you. It's a lot of work. I love photography, but it would be a really excellent thing to be able to retire at some point. But it won't happen until I'm 70 or so, if I live that long.
Wow.
I'm 55 now, so another 15 years. We'll see.
All right. At the age of 55, you're traipsing into some pretty, like you said, you know, a lot of the work is zoos, but then you're off in New Zealand and you're climbing through the bush there, too.
Yeah, that's right. A little bit. Sure. This TV show, the director made sure that we got our exercise. That's for sure. But we saw some really interesting things all over the world and went to China, Madagascar, New Zealand, Cameroon, just all over the place and got some amazing species that the world will likely never see again. So I'm excited the show's coming out. They were with me about 18 months on and off. And so it's nice to see that come to fruition finally.
The images are striking. We get to sort of look these animals in the eye, but you've looked them so many in the eye through your camera lens, and then when you get to put your camera lens down and sort of watch them, how has that changed you as a person to sort of spend this kind of time with all this rich diversity of wildlife?
Yeah. Well, it makes me appreciate how smart they all are.
Hmm.
I mean, they've been around for millions of years, most of these species, for a reason, and that is because they're aware of their surroundings. They react to threats. They react to enrichment, you know, like food. And there a lot of the animals are a lot like us. They're playful, they're malicious, they're joyous. They can be sad or depressed. They can be extremely excited and happy. You know, people don't give animals enough credit, but we're animals too, and we are so much alike. And You know, the thing I wanted to stress is that as these animals go away, so could humans. We're really tied to the natural world for our food and the air we breathe and the water we drink. And so the goal of the photo arc is really to get the public to care about other species other than ourselves and get us to think about the world around us. We have to have bees and butterflies to bring us fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. We have to have intact rainforests to regulate the amount of rain we get in South Dakota and Nebraska and elsewhere. Without these natural environmental factors, these ecosystems being healthy, we will not be able to feed ourselves. We won't be able to have a very nice planet to live on. It really is true. As these other animals go away, so will we. And that's kind of one of the underlying reasons that I'm pushing so hard to get this done.
Right.
I think the future of life on Earth depends on it, literally.
Let's talk a little bit about your process, and I want to particularly talk about the keepers of some of these animals, the humans, mm-hmm. who are sort of helping you get things set up. They know their behavior. What are those relationships like?
Well, it's nice that, I mean, wherever I go, the people that care for the animals the most are the keepers, the ones that tend to these animals every day. So the process is I figure out where I'm going to be going. Maybe it's a talk. I do a lot of public speaking. Maybe it's for something else. And I'll contact the zoos, aquariums, research center, private breeders, wildlife rehabbers ahead of time and have them send me their species inventory if they're interested in participating. And most of them are, thankfully. And they'll send me their list. And I'll say, okay, from this list, we'll need 20. And they'll come back and say, okay, we can do these 12 because the rest of them are either impossible to catch up or wouldn't handle the photographic process. They're not calm enough. But we have these animals that are hand-reared or would be calm enough. And so then we set about a plan on how to photograph them. But the keepers and the zoo staff, the aquarium staff, they really know their animals well, and they do the driving in that respect. They tell me what we can do and what we can't, and that's it. So we really don't have any problems. It's pretty uneventful. The hard part is lining up the time and the shooting. But the part that goes the quickest and is usually the easiest are the shoots themselves. For large animals, the zoo will line a off exhibit space with black or white paint or paper or cloth or boards, and then, you know, get the animal used to coming in for lunch, you know. And so on the shoot day, the animal's just coming in to get food, and I happen to be there too. So it goes off without a hitch, you know, 99% of the time.
Do you feel like you're in a race for some of these animals, that if you don't get there logistically, if you can't make it work, you lose the opportunity forever?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We see species all the time that are the very last of their kind in captivity, and they're gone in the wild, we think. So it is definitely a race. It's tiring, you know?
Right.
For sure. I think this fall I'm going to go to Australia in August, Spain in September, October will be Portugal, Italy, and Germany. November will probably be the Philippines or Indonesia. Hmm. So it's someplace different every month. I'm taking a couple months off this summer to, you know, help promote the television show. But then we start in again. Pretty hard starting in August.
What kind of personal toll does that take on you? You've articulated well that, you know, the value of it and how it's life or death, but what's the cost mm-hmm. for you and your family?
Well, I wasn't around a whole lot when the kids were growing up. I try to take them with me on these shoots now, which is really nice. The toll is just that, you know, if you want to do something big, you cannot, you blow off big chunks of your life to do it. Hmm. And that's just, my wife and I were talking about this today. I mean, the vast majority of the people that we come across in Lincoln, Nebraska, where we live, they're doing good things. They're doing their work. They're going home. They have a life. Well, my life is pretty much dedicated to this. So, and that's just how it is, and it's a choice I've made. And my wife made that choice, too, and she's very supportive, and that's all there is to it. There's not much else to it, really. That's what we do.
Right. Presuming that you get to the end of the project, you achieve the goals that you want to achieve, and you look back, how many of the animals that you've already photographed 15 years from now will already be extinct?
Dozens. Hmm. Your questions, by the way, are the best questions. I can't remember an interviewer asking better questions than me.
Thank you.
It's a, by the way,
it's a remarkable, project that you're working on.
So. Yeah, but already we think we have about 10 species, maybe one a year, that's gone extinct. But by the end of it, it will be dozens and dozens will have been gone. And so what's happening is zoos, aquariums, wildlife rehab centers, these are places that are really the modern day arcs. They're the keepers of the kingdom. Many of the species I photograph are extinct in the wild. They only exist thanks to zoos doing captive breeding. Hmm. And so when zoos lose funding, change ownership, simply can't do it anymore, they had too small a selection genetically to keep the lines going, to keep them going, we're just going to start to see species go at an increasing pace. So right now it's just a trickle, and even a trickle is too much. But as we get towards the end of the project, we're going to see more and more and more. Especially birds that live in Asia. The forests are all going to go for palm oil and for people. I mean, we're on our way to 11 billion souls, and that's just not going to bode well for wildlife. There's no place for the animals to live. It's just all taken over by humans and our farms and livestock. So this is how it is, and people ask me if I get depressed or anything. I don't. I get inspired and maybe a little mad and want to just tell more people about what's going on in the world.
Right.
But I'm hopeful that the photo arc, or else I wouldn't be doing it, I'm hopeful that the pictures can move people to care and to want to do something about it, to think about the resources we consume, the size of our homes, the size of our cars, all these things that, you know, whether we insulate our homes well, whether we drive a smaller car, whether we buy things that can be recycled, whether we get our energy sustainably. These are all the things that matter, and each animal is an opportunity to educate people and get them into the tent of conservation. So I couldn't think of anything better to do with my life, so that's it. That's it in a nutshell.
You've seen photos lead to real change in the past. Can you tell us an example of when a photo that you made had a positive impact that kind of inspired you to keep going?
Sure. There aren't enough examples of that, but one that comes to mind is the Florida grasshopper sparrow, which is a bird that was slated to go extinct. And the photo art coverage of that bird that ran on the cover of Audubon magazine moved the U.S. government to allocate more than $1 million for a captive breeding program. And that captive breeding program now has 30 birds in it, and they continue to reproduce and do well. And so it's coming along. It's by no means out of the woods at all. They got to figure out what's driving it down in the wild. But there are now as many birds in captivity, I think, as there are in the wild, and that's far cry better than what would have happened without photo art coverage. So I'm right. Proud of that. But right. There needs to be a lot more of those kind of stories.
Right. You spend, in one of the episodes of this three-part series airing on PBS, you spend the day with Tracy out in the forest pulling a kiwi egg out of a nest.
Right. And right.
What if people like Tracy don't do that work? What if she stops doing what she's doing? It's pretty labor-intensive to get one egg and
to
bring
is.
It down. And
It is, but there's so many mammalian predators introduced by man. See, they didn't have any mammals on New Zealand besides a bat and a dolphin.
Right.
So there are so many stoats or weasels and these possums, things that eat eggs and chicks, that if they did not pull the eggs, hand-rear the birds to get them to adult size, that bird would be extinct in a few years, for sure. They have less than 5% nesting success if they don't. If they just allow the birds to try to rear their own babies, but they've got like far more than 60 or 70% success if they pull the egg, hand rear it, and reintroduce that bird back into the wild as a full-grown bird that can protect itself against mammalian predators. So that's if it weren't for the efforts of conservationists in New Zealand, that bird would be extinct already, for sure.
What is this time like for you back, doing basically promotional work, having conversations about what you do? Do you get itching to go out and do the real work? Is this every bit as important as taking the next photo?
You know, I never stop. So I was photographing. Right. I photographed 18 different species of wolf spider in my living room 2 days ago. And so a wolf spider researcher from the University of Nebraska brought them over to my house to photograph.
Wow.
And then on Friday, I'll be in Oklahoma City photographing a pocket gopher and a hooded crane. So, because I have to go there to give a talk. So it's, I don't stop. I do take days off, though, where I have some time with my family, can work on the house a little bit and reflect on things. And so far, I just think, yeah, it's worth it. I mean, I don't really have a choice. I got to finish the project, and it's something I want to do. I've always wanted to do. So, it's good.
In those quiet moments of reflection, what comes back to you again and again about what you've seen and the animals and the keepers that you've met? What sort of recurs in those quiet moments
for
you?
I think that there's a lot of conservation heroes out there. There's a lot of people that really care deeply for the future of life on Earth. And these are people that don't get to be interviewed on the radio. These are people that are keepers, cleaning pens up and feeding animals every day at low pay with no notoriety. These to me are people that are heroes, and they're on the front lines, as I never will be. I'm kind of a voyeur. I look in and photograph the fruits of their labor and then move on. So I really am in a lot of admiration, and I just think if it weren't for this army of people that care, the world would already be greatly diminished in terms of its biodiversity.
Hmm. What's your recommendation for folks, maybe kids, maybe young adults who are sort of watching the program? They find the book and they say, you know, I really want to do something, and I want to do something beyond just buying a smaller house someday because I'm getting started in life. What's your message for their futures?
Well, I think that let's say they go to the Great Plains Zoo, the zoos in this country that are AZA accredited, as that one is, are all working together to become conservation centers and breed critically endangered species every year. So people don't need to reinvent the wheel. They can go to the zoo and learn which species are from your area that need help. They can also find out what can be done. People also can look on the National Geographic site to learn more about any of these species. They can realize that our consumer choices make a big difference. Like, do we insulate our homes well to reduce carbon? Do we drive a smaller car? Do we buy less stuff?
That's National Geographic contract photographer Joel Satori. You can see Creatures of the Photo Arc beginning Tuesday, July 18th at 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain on SDPB-TV. This week, South Dakota Public Broadcasting transitions to new equipment. We're cutting to here and now an hour early. Next week, we return to our two-hour format. From all of us at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, thank you for listening.